Good morning. Welcome to Shelter Rock Church. As you heard, my name is Pablo. I am a member here of the Westbury campus, and I've been a member of Westbury campus in particular since day one, and maybe even before that when we were just kind of planning on this campus. And it was brought to my attention by one of our members here that we are celebrating 4 years this month as a campus. So we're preschoolers. We're preschoolers. And I couldn't be prouder, honestly, because I, like I said, I was here when we were, when we just mentioned it. We were just a whisper, and then we were a group of prayers, and then we were a group of builders, and now here we are, and we're all gathered under this building to worship the Lord. So this morning, I am really excited and honored to continue our series, Jonah, Reluctant Prophet, Relentless God. Last time we're speaking of Jonah, he had been called by God to speak against the city of Nineveh. Instead, he decided to disobey and run from God. But more importantly, he meets an end to his running, and that is, of course, in the belly of a fish. I see a lot of myself in Jonah. For most of you, you probably don't know my story. But like Jonah, I knew God personally. I had grown up in a family, in a community that followed the Lord. But at some point in my life, I decided that I knew better. And foolishly, I took off on my own path and started my run. And my path and my run took me into the depths of addiction. For 15 years, I was an alcoholic and I was a drug addict. My life was endless misery and pain and anger. And worst of all, I came to believe that God was done with me, that he didn't see me or hear from me, that he had no purpose for this empty being and these dry bones. But how wrong I was. And today we're going to see how wrong a prophet of God was, and when that prophet stopped running, how God was waiting for him with open arms. So before we enter the word, let's take a moment to pray. Blessed Father, we're so grateful to be here today, and we ask that through your word, you speak to our hearts, that you begin to move us and stir us, stop our running if that need be, that you redirect us towards you, Lord, by your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. So if you have your Bible, please open up to Jonah chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. If you have your app, it's even easier to find Jonah. Jonah is tucked away kind of right there past the midpoint. And it reads, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and he said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of death, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. Lord, in my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I will shout of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry lands." When I read this passage, and I hadn't read Jonah in a while, Pastor Henry came to me about doing this service, and he said, you know, we're going to be doing a series on Jonah. We'd love for you to maybe do Jonah's prayer. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, let me pray on it first, and before I say anything. But I was like, you know what, yes, I'll step out in faith and serve God. But I hadn't read Jonah in a while. So I went to Jonah 2, and I was like, okay, let's read this one. And I was like, oh, that's not the prayer I thought I'd be reading. For a guy who ran away from God disobediently and got himself stuck in the belly of a fish, my prayer, if I was him, would be a little bit different. I'd be asking, sorry, and forgive me, and if you get me out of here, I'll do whatever you want, God. But that's not what we see here. This is a different kind of prayer. This is not a prayer for help, but it's a shout of praise. Jonah is focusing on the character of God and not on his circumstances. And today we're going to learn three things that are really important for us today as believers. And those are: God is never far away, God is always in control, and God is worthy of all praise. So we're going to start with our first point. God is never far away. In the belly of the fish, Jonah begins a prayer recounting the moments of him being in the water. We always have this idea that Jonah falls in the water and then the fish grabs him. He spends a little bit more time in the water than we think, and he's talking about this idea of him falling deeper and deeper. He equates this to a Hebrew concept called Sheol, or the realm of the dead, a place where for the Israelites of that time, they believed God doesn't hear you there. There's no communicating with God. You're outside his presence. But it's from there in desperation and terrified that he begins to call out. As he's falling through the water, he looks like he's going to drown, he began to call in distress. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for his help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents swirled around about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Jonah began a prayer, not in the belly of the fish, but while he was drowning. And part of that prayer is him continuing it. As he's falling, as the seaweed, as we're going to read, is wrapping around his head, he's close to death. We can imagine water going into his lungs, into his mouth. He can barely breathe. He really thinks, this is it, but I got to do something, and all he can do is call out to God. Sometimes we find ourselves in those storms, in moments in our life where you're praying and it doesn't seem like anything's happening and you're sinking. Keep praying. Keep calling out to God. As we continue, verse 5 and 6, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. There is no running from God. He's always there. He's always present in your life. And God always responds to those who call out to him. For Jonah, he kept calling. It's all he had left. That terrifying feeling that I'm outside of God's presence was a false one. And he could have believed it and said, that's it. And just allowed himself to sink. But he fought. And he called. And he prayed. And it's not easy to call out to God in the midst of a storm and the troubles. It's easy on the mountaintop. It's even easy after you've gone through it. But there are times where you have to just keep praying and calling out. Right there when it doesn't seem like there's an exit and you're unsure of where it's going to go or how it's going to get resolved, keep calling out to God. He is there. He does respond. For Jonah or us, too many times we might think, you know what, I got to spend a few days being really good and I'm going to glance at my Bible a little bit before I call God. And it's like, no. Pastor Henry kind of hit on that. Wherever you are, whoever you are, or find yourself in, whatever state you're in, call out to God. He's there. He hasn't left your side. When we look at Jonah, he's been sinking deeper because he's been running away from God. Yet when he calls out, God responds. You are not disqualified from praying to God or getting action from him because of what you've done. It's the opposite. He actually responds. It's like he's looking for you to say something. He extends his hand, grab onto it. But you have to be persistent. You can't allow for the waves and the torrents to start sweeping over you and for you to give up. So how do we hold on to that? What we see is that God is in control. And that's our second point. Jonah recognizes something about God. And he does this by looking back at everything that's happened since the moment he decided, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to go to Joppa. I'm going to go to Tarshish. And it's in the text, and it's subtle, because he uses a really powerful imagery about sinking, the roots of the mountains, the seaweed around his head. But look at where he places the ownership of everything that happens to him. You go to verse 3, You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. You look further back, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, the ship threatened to break up. Again in chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Some verses have it arranged or prepared. Looking back, Jonah's seeing the hand of God every step of the way. It's God who dictates the storm and the depths that Jonah sinks. There is no getting away from God, and God is mighty, and He's in control. For us today, there is peace in that. There is peace in the sovereignty of God. We can look to God in everything because He is above it all. And the storms may be big, but He's bigger than the storm, and they bow to His word. The theologian L.I. Packer said, people treat God's sovereignty as a theme for controversy. But in Scripture, it's a matter of worship. If you look through that Bible, there are so many times where it's written how they are worshiping God solely because He's God. And He's mighty. But as great and powerful and as mighty as He is, He's not a distant God. Over and over again, He constantly sacrifices His mightiness and comes down to your level. We see this so tangibly in the life of Jesus, who gave up His position in heaven at the right hand of God and came to earth to live a mortal life, to be battered and bruised for your transgressions. God is not distant, but God is in control. We always say, sometimes we hear, Jesus died on a cross. Jesus gave up His life on a cross. He dictates the when and how. And so today, if you're in that storm or you're in that battle and you're just like, this is overwhelming, I don't know how this is going to end, keep calling on God. He's going to respond. And be reassured, because of His sovereignty, this will pass. I don't know how and I don't know when, just like Jonah. I don't know how or I don't know when, if ever, but it's going to pass. And it's for these reasons that we bow to our mighty God, and it's also the reason why we worship. And that's our final point today. God is worthy of all praise. You know, we've been reading of Jonah and his prayer and how through this prayer he's redirecting his faith and his heart to God. And it's, again, not a prayer of asking. It's a prayer of rededication. I'm putting myself back in your hands, God. And his final pivot back to the Lord is in a posture of worship. And we read in verse 8 and 9, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. That turn is Jonah acknowledging his foolishness by placing his faith on something else besides God. It was like idolatry to him. And he's so upset with himself. And he's turning. Instead, he's affirming, I'm going to serve the Lord. And his final pivot is, I'm going to claim the Lord as my salvation. Jonah is putting himself back into God's hands. But more importantly, Jonah is making that turn because he understands you cannot worship God with your back to Him. You must turn to God. You must adore Him. You have to make contact with Him. Your feet's got to stop running, and then you got to turn. And it's this where we find Jonah. But notice something. Jonah's worshiping God still inside the belly of that fish. He has no exit. God hasn't said, I'm going to get you out of here. And a lot of times we forget to worship in the midst of our troubles. Instead, we give up or we white knuckle it through this. But there is something about worship that revitalizes the spirit and lifts you up and prepares you for whatever's in front of you and whatever battle you're in. You focus on the sovereignty of God and you know this too will pass. And you call out to God because you know He's going to respond. And you don't know when and you don't know how, but you do it. And I get upset at myself because I do that sometimes. I pity potty and, you know, like, and I get sorrow and how is this going to happen? And then you get through it and then you're on dry land and then you worship. Yes. And God's saying, you got to worship in it. I love that song, I Raise a Hallelujah. Jonah's doing that. I'm inside this fish, it don't matter. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Amen. You find yourself in some trouble, don't matter. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Doctor said a prognosis, it don't matter. Raise a hallelujah. You got a bigger doctor. For Jonah, worship was his final pivot. In the minutes for him that he's in there, it doesn't matter who hears his worship. If it's just the fish he's stuck in, it don't matter. If he's got 10 days or 10 minutes left of life, he's going to worship. And he's going to meet his end, if that be it, with worship on his lips. He's focusing on God and not his circumstances. His whole being is back in God's hands. Do with me as you wish, God. And Jonah, again, is worshiping not because of what he can get. Notice that his worship is not, Lord, I adore you because you're going to get me out of here. I just adore you because you are my salvation. And if it's just my salvation out of the depths of that water, then that's okay. That's enough. Whatever else comes, it's your business. I'm in your hands. Thinking about my life in those times when I was running back, I can see God's hand. I can see him acting in so many ways. How many times did I not lose my life because I was in the wrong place? How many times did I fall asleep with poison in my body? And I woke up and I had breath in my lungs and another day. And those are gifts from a God of endless grace who doesn't give up on you, who's relentless. And when he has purpose for you, you will fulfill it. Jonah was going to fulfill his purpose. God didn't give up on him. He's not going to give up on you. And maybe today you're sitting here and you're unsure of what's going to happen in those troubles, but prayer changes things. Now, my belly of the fish came in a jail cell. And I wish I could sit here and tell you this was my prayer, but I had no prayers. But prayer did save my life. It was the prayers of my mother, my father, the prayers of my family. It was the prayers of people I didn't even know. Because wherever my parents were serving, because they're missionaries, wherever they were serving, whatever church they were helping at, they would tell people, pray for my son. He's lost. He's turned from God. I've never met these people, but they prayed. And it was those prayers that covered my life, reoriented me. But more importantly, it was those prayers that when finally God said no more running and called on me, those prayers were softening my heart. They were moving away the rockiness and the stubbornness, preparing that soil to receive the Lord. Prayer changes things. So today, if you're in trouble, if you're running, stop running and call on God. Maybe you have a spouse, a child of your own, a family member you've been praying for. Keep praying for that spouse, that child, that loved one. Perhaps it's just an aspect of your life that's not directed in God's way. I'm telling you today, let it go. Redirect that part of your life because it's just sinking you and keeping you from moving forward. It's like a weight on your heels. God is never far away. He's always in control and he's worthy of your praise. Christ died on a cross that you may always have access to him. Your God is not far away and he's not deaf to what is happening to your life or in the lives of loved ones. Every breath you take and every step you take, he's there with you. Take heart in knowing that he's going to act on your behalf. Stand tall in that storm because you know above that storm is somebody mightier than him. And remember, that mighty God claims you as his own. And worship. Worship isn't just for Sundays. Worship on that Monday, on that Tuesday, and all the way through. Look to that scripture to fortify you. So when you come out of that storm and you've done these things, there's going to be something different about you. Something different about the way you perceive God, the way Jonah did. Jonah was ready to take on the world if need be. He didn't know if he would be. But he believed once more, I'm in your hands, God. And you're going to do what you will. And I love you for whatever that may be. Take heart. God is with you today. He's with those people that you're praying for. Believe in him. Believe that he's going to act. All right? Amen. Amen. Just come for it.
Thank you, Pablo. Hey, I want to close in prayer. God, thank you for your word, which reminds us of you. Scripture says that Jonah remembered the Lord. When his life was ebbing away, he remembered you, Lord. And so, God, thank you for the way you've used Pablo here to remind us of who you are, that we can call on you no matter what, that you'll hear us and that you'll answer our prayer. God, that you are always in control, that your hand is in every circumstance, and that, Lord Jesus, you indeed are worthy of all praise. I want to pray for every person here. Lord, I know you put it on my heart to ask Pablo to preach on this passage, and I don't know why, but I just got to trust, God, that you have someone here, Father, that you need to reach, that you need to speak to, and you chose to use Pablo to do it. And so, God, I pray for hard hearts, that they would be softened in your presence, Lord, and that for anyone who might be running, who anyone whose back might be turned to you today, Lord, that you would turn them back to you. That they would call on you. We would all call on you, Lord. That we would trust you. And we would give you the praise and honor and worship that you are due. We thank you, Jesus, for this work that you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pablo, so much for bringing us the word this morning. Can we thank Pablo again?